things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah! That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to February.
Woo! So happy to be here. The shortest month.
The shortest month.
It's going to be over so quick. Make the most of it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Any big plans for February?
I have so much shit going on in February. It's
unreal.
Got more
it's
stuff.
Unreasonable.
It's unreasonable. More stuff than you could shake a stick at.
Oh.
So many.
Oh, what fun.
Yeah. So, yeah. You got anything going on? Any vacations? Anything going on?
No vacations, I don't think. I have my last training class.
Ooh.
I got a new job. Well, not a new job. I got a different job with the same company. And I'm going to be doing my last training class in February. I leave tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I do a full week the first week of February. And then I do another full week in the middle. And Miss Abby is coming home for a weekend.
Oh my gosh, that's exciting.
I'm so excited to see her.
It's been a while.
And hug her body and see her little boy. I'm really excited.
Aww.
And let's see what else. Ryan's birthday is in February. My wedding anniversary is in February. We got, you know.
Quite a lot.
Just a lot. So, yeah.
A lot of stuff going on.
Oh, and Winston says hello.
Winston is still with us.
Yes. Well.
Yes.
So the paranormal episode will come out after this.
Oh.
So.
This is Wilson.
Wilson Winston. Is my sister-in-law's cat. So I am babysitting and he is very loud and I can't stop him from purring. So if you hear it, I apologize. Mm. And sometimes he likes to bite me if I'm not petting him. So just to get everybody caught up.
Now you're caught up.
Anything new in your world?
You know, no, my foot is broken.
Yeah.
And
just a menagerie of the health issues. We'll talk about it on Friday.
Just, no, nothing really. Just it's the same old.
Just general. You know what we have been doing though that I think that we should share?
What? Oh, yes. This has been a passion project.
Jenny and I have been having the time of our life with watching a Twilight movie and then turning around and watching a 50 Shades of Grey movie.
The corresponding,
and to see the parallels.
There's a lot. Lots of lonely walking.
Yeah.
Meaningful stares.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
The metaphors are just so on the nose.
Oh, just painfully.
And
sitting on your nose.
Normally we have a drink with this.
Uh-huh.
And the cackling is just so loud.
Ian has to retreat upstairs.
Like, goodbye forever.
Well, when this first started, we were going to watch a horror movie, but we couldn't decide which one.
Yeah, so we were like, let's just watch Twilight.
Yeah, so I told Ian, hey, we're going to watch a scary movie. So he left the house.
Right. He doesn't do it.
No, little weenie. I love him. He doesn't do scary movies.
Snoogle. Little marshmallow.
Sweet boy. He's just a Teddy Graham. He thinks he's so crusty and he's not. But he came home and we were watching Twilight and he was like, what the fuck?
And we were having a blast.
Oh my God. It's so, I have not watched them since, I think I only saw the first one when it came out in theaters. Yeah. Many new moons ago. But watching it back is awful.
Oh my God.
It's so painful to see.
Listen, I unashamedly like the Twilight movies.
Oh God.
And like, I understand they're bad. And I understand the absolute comedy that we get out of them. But I have watched them recently unironically. Like, sat down because I wanted to watch them. But they're hysterical. And
that
it's
they
just,
are.
It's, I am such a nostalgic little bean that I find so much joy in watching things that I've already seen.
Uh-huh.
And
they're safety.
It's
safety movies.
So funny. I love them.
It's great.
I wish I could relive going to the theater to see them for the first time. Like, the energy, the amount of people, the people dressed up. It's
wild.
Wild. And I don't think that we have that anymore.
I think people do it for the superhero ones. What's that?
Marvel?
Yeah. I think people dress up for those.
Yeah, I think sometimes, but...
Ian got so mad at me.
Oh, gosh.
Because he wanted to watch. There's a new... it's like the Spider-Man Family Reunion movie that just came out.
Okay, yeah.
And he really wanted to watch it. And I was like, oh, okay, sure. Like, what's it about? And he's like, oh, well, it has this Spider-Man and this and this. And I was like, I haven't seen
any of them.
And he's like, well, you can't watch this one. You just won't get it. You just have to watch all of them again. And he's like, you have to see so many. And so we...
he just saw that the assignment was going to be too bad.
And we abandoned it. So I got it. He hasn't seen the movie.
Well, I understand.
I have not seen, a single... Your superhero.
Yeah.
Kind of gal.
Yeah, I've seen... the only Spider-Man that I have not seen was the most recent one before this one. And because Sony still owns Spider-Man, they're not on Disney Plus.
Ah.
So I went through and I did a full Marvel rewatch not too long ago, and I watched all of them.
How many is that?
A lot. It's like 14 movies or something like that.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so I went through and I started it in quarantine.
Yeah.
And just finished it right after we moved.
Yeah.
And I got so mad when I realized, like, I'm missing parts of it because the Spider-Mans aren't on Disney Plus.
Oh.
Which is very annoying.
There's like a whole lineage you got to follow.
Yeah.
It's like, it's too much. It's too much for me. And I feel the same way with Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
And it's too much. Also, it is purposefully infuriating. Just release them in fucking chronological order.
Yeah.
Like, who tells a story from the middle and then the beginning and then the end?
Right.
It's so dumb.
Yeah.
It's too much for me. I'm not trying to shit on somebody's fandom.
Right.
I just cannot now get on board.
I am also not a Star Wars fandom girl, and I love y'all that are. I'm just not going to do it, though.
No, I'm not going to do it. I love, and here's my issue with fandom. So, like, I really enjoy Doctor Who.
Yeah.
But I have really only watched, like, one season religiously.
Sure.
And I watched it, like, four times, the Matt Smith season.
Yep.
But, like, people hate, like, I can't be a real Doctor Who girl if I didn't watch, like, what's his face who came before it?
David Tennant?
Yeah, with Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan is a huge Doctor Who fan. He's been watching it since he was a child.
Oh, wow.
And... yeah, there's that fandom is huge. And
it is a big one.
You have a lot of opinions.
I'm just a lukewarm liker in every single. I am lukewarm about
most things. I either don't like it or obsessed.
Yeah, I either hate it or it's okay.
Yeah, there's no...
there's very few things that I'm like, it's incredible.
It's incredible, and you have to do all these things, and I'm going to buy all of the things that go along with it.
Oh, I've never done that.
Oh, I do.
I have never... Rocks, maybe.
Yeah.
But like, not a franchise.
Yeah. No,
I wish I would love to be passionate about something like that and have, like, that, oh, I love this so much, and I want to go to things about it. Like, I don't.
It's just not in there.
No.
That's okay.
I love, like, the cozy fireplace for 13 hours on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
And I have my own fireplace. So that's, I'm about as far subscribed into that as I can possibly be.
Yeah. See, there's a level of obsession that takes me into, I need to know where everything is filmed.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a tiny town in North Carolina called Wilmington that is where One Tree Hill was filmed. Mm-hmm. That's where Dawson's Creek was filmed. And it's where all the Scream movies were filmed.
Oh.
All of my favorite things. And I have to go there someday.
Okay.
And it's beautiful. And it looks so cute. And they have, like, walking tours of all the, like, locations and stuff like that.
Cute.
I want to go do it so bad.
I love that for you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Do you want to get into grab bags?
Oh, shit, yeah. I guess we're here to do something. We are recording.
Welcome to the podcast. It's a little bit grim.
Oh, hi. That's Taylor.
That's Jenny over there.
Hi, what's up? Welcome. We're glad you're here.
So glad. This is a grab bag episode. So we are going to tell a few stories that are interesting, but maybe not be big enough for a whole ass episode on their own. Although Jenny, sounds like you made a whole ass episode out of one of yours, right?
Well, yeah. So my last one, my third one that I was doing, I accidentally fell down a wormhole. And now that is the next conspiracy episode. So hang on. It's more of a, I don't want to say an expose.
Ooh.
But it is a wild ass fucking article that I found.
Okay.
And then I started fact checking it and I fell.
Nose first.
A slippity slide right down straight to rock bottom. So
nice.
Stay tuned for that.
Okay. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Oh, I can go first. All right. This is a little local.
Ooh, fine.
Little local one. Just happened. An Antwerp woman, which is Ohio, was arrested in the death of her husband. She told investigators that she shot the man during a fight and then drug his body to the basement and buried him. Heidi L. Grant faces a charge of aggravated murder in the death of Christopher S. Franklin. Franklin, 47, was reported missing on Friday. His brother filed the missing persons report and said that he had not been seen or heard from since January 16th.
Oh, my God.
On Saturday, then, police interviewed Grant about Franklin's whereabouts. According to a probable cause complaint filed in the municipal court of Paulding County, Grant admitted to killing her husband. The affidavit said Grant and Franklin were fighting inside their West River Street home on January 13th. Grant told investigators she left to go to a friend's house to borrow a gun. When she returned home, Franklin swung a baseball bat at her.
Jesus.
That's when Grant said she shot him. Grant and Franklin was still alive but mortally wounded, and she did not want him to suffer, so she shot him at least one more time, killing him, according to the affidavit.
Holy God.
After that, Grant said she took Franklin's body to the basement and spent the next 2 days covering him with 11 bags of cement. She dumped a rug from the home in the dumpster just over a mile away. Grant told police she hid the gun in the basement. Police noted in the affidavit that she drew a diagram that led police to the gun and body. Her bond was set at $10 million.
Jesus.
And it sounds like, this was not in the article. This was from the sea of Facebook comments that there was a history of repeated domestic violence there.
Yeah.
So if you or someone you know is in need of support, resources, or advice, please call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE. You can also visit their website at thehotline.org. And side note,
yeah,
when I went to their website to pull up this information to include it, they have this really cool feature where there's like a pop-up box at the bottom that is like, if you need, like, if you are not in a safe place. One, they have a thing that pops up immediately that says, like, this will be tracked by your history, and it gives you details on how to go and delete your browsing history. God.
That's awesome.
And then it has a feature where if you double hit the escape button twice, it will close the entire browser.
Wow. I like that.
It's super cool.
Good looking out.
Smart. They know what they're doing over there.
Yeah, they do.
So that is my first one. Very
nice.
Sad.
Well, yeah, it is very sad. I'm sorry that.
Not nice, but.
Well done.
Thank you.
Good pick.
Oh, thank you. Good pick.
It all sounds
good
weird.
Good pick.
It all sounds weird. All right. So I have a haunted doll for you.
No, oh, fuck. I hate these.
All right. So this is out of Houston. On Christmas of 2013, a Houston area girl was gifted an Elsa doll. And all was well. Until it wasn't.
God.
The doll recited phrases from the movie Frozen and sang Let It Go when its button on its necklace was pressed. For 2 years, it did that in English, the mother, Emily Madonia, said. In 2015, it started alternating between Spanish and English.
Oh.
There wasn't a button that changed these. It was just random.
Okay.
The family has owned the doll for more than 6 years and never changed its batteries.
Ew.
Yeah. The mother says the doll would randomly begin to speak and sing even when it was switched off. In December 2019, the family decided to get rid of the doll. However, Elsa wasn't going to let this family go.
Oh, fluff it.
Despite throwing it in the trash, the family found the doll inside of a bench in their living room weeks later.
Ew.
The kids insisted they didn't put it there, and I believe them because they wouldn't have dug through the garbage outside, Madonia said.
Oh, yeah.
Elsa completely stopped operating in English and began to only speak and sing in Spanish.
We love a multilingual queen.
Yeah. Once again, the family attempted to throw out the Elsa doll. Madonia's husband double-bagged the doll and placed it at the bottom of the garbage to be taken away on trash day. The family traveled and forgot about it, but when they returned, their daughter found her old friend outside the house. Ugh. So then the mother posted on Facebook. Okay, guys, we seriously need your help. To recap for those of you who have not been following our Elsa doll saga, Matt threw her away weeks ago, and then we found it inside in a wooden bench. Okay, so we're weirded out and tightly wrapped. In its own garbage bag and put that garbage bag inside another garbage bag filled with the other garbage and put at the bottom of our garbage can underneath a bunch of other bags of garbage and wheeled it to the curb, and it was collected on garbage day. Great, right?
We put that box in a box.
And we put that box in another box. And I mailed that box to myself.
And when it arrives,
I smash it with a hammer. We're ridiculous. Okay. Great, right? We went out of town, forgot about it. Today, Aurelia says, Mom, I saw the Elsa doll again in the backyard. Chills. Please help us get rid of this doll. And there's a photo.
I can't. There's a glare. Oh my god. Ew!
Yikes, right? Post it on the Insta.
Gross.
Okay. When asked if she believed it was if a prank was being pulled, Madonia said, the doll has some marker on her from my daughter coloring over the years, so I know that the doll that has reappeared is the original and not a replacement.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Most logical thinkers believe that it's a prank, but I don't understand how or when it was done, especially because the garbage truck had taken it away. The family has made a final attempt to get rid of the daughter's old toy, but this time Elsa wasn't going into the unknown. This author. So good. The doll was mailed without a return address to a family friend in Minnesota. If the doll comes back, I might have to open my mind to some more supernatural solutions, Madonia said. Luckily for Madonia, the doll was received by her Minnesotan friend Chris Hogan, who shared a final update on his Facebook account. And now for the rest of the story, she made it to Minnesota and is taped to the bush guard of my Jeep. If anything weird happens, I'm welding her to a steel pipe and sinking it to the lake of the woods, Hogan wrote.
Oh my God.
Madonia also added an exclamation post answering questions she's received since the story went viral. And then there's a picture of the Elsa doll on the truck.
I love that. Yeah. For Chris.
And that was written by Brianna Edwards for clicktohouston.com.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Essential work on planned reservoirs in Zimbabwe has stopped.
Oh.
Because mermaids have been hounding workers away, according to the country's water resources minister.
Shut up.
I swear. Samuel Sapipa Ngomo told a Zimbabwean parliamentary committee that terrified workers are refusing to return to the sites near the towns of Gakwe and Mutare. Minister Ngomo said the only way to dissolve the problem was to brew traditional beer and carry out any rites to appease the spirits. All the officers I have sent have vowed not to go back there, Minister Ngomo was reported as saying in Zimbabwe's state-approved Herald newspaper. The senior politician said that mermaids were also present in other reservoirs. Quote, we even hired whites, thinking that our boys did not want to work, but they also returned, saying they would not return to work there again.
What?
Yep. The two long overdue reservoirs are considered essential if Zimbabwe is to provide adequate water to its population and to boost its agricultural production. Having once been the breadbasket of southern Africa, the country's farms have been laid low by lack of faith in government policy. From 2000, President Robert Mugabe expropriated some 4,000 white-owned farms and gave them to politically connected. Partly as a result, agricultural production for this year's forecast to be at its second lowest since Zimbabwe achieved independence from Britain in 1980. The belief in mermaids is widespread, and many people there combine Christian faith with traditional beliefs, which is really common and super, super cool. Local government, rural, and urban development minister Ignatius Chombo said the government wants to give the population the water it needs and will do so when the rituals are performed and the necessary repairs will be finished, carried out.
Huh.
Cool, right?
That's fun.
It's super cool. So in that, oh God, hold on. Let me get you the article. It is by Percy Zvumoya, February 6, 2020, on Mail and Guardian.
Great.
There you go.
That's cool.
Is that fun?
I like it.
It really shut down work for like months.
Because of mermaids.
Yeah. Because, well, there were like a string of like accidents that kept happening. And like, it was just, it got so ridiculous that like, they, the, even like the locals were like, it has to be.
Yeah.
Mermaids. Luring something. People to this. Yeah, something is causing it. So then they're doing the ritual and like, they're going to do it. I just think it's cool.
I like it.
When the government's like, yeah, you're right. We do need to
appease. We have to do something.
We do need to appease the spirit so we can do what we need to do.
I love it.
I love it
too. We love to see it. All right. So I have a creepypasta for you.
Okay.
So get cozy.
Okay.
All right. For those not accustomed to it, life in rural Eastern Europe can feel very lonely and isolating. I spent all of my teenage life and most of my childhood in London, but recently, about a year ago, we were forced to move back to the old country due to financial reasons. It could have not been older than 3 or 4 when we first transitioned to the UK, so my memories of my hometown are foggy at best. An old apartment complex in the middle of an industrial district isn't exactly the most scenic place to grow up either, but though definitely drab at times, it always felt alive. There was always something to do, and more interesting parts of town were just a short bus ride away. Here, there are only grasslands stretching for miles in whichever direction I look, not to mention the 4 or 5 hour drive between me and the nearest city, and for the record, I don't have a license. Mm. Most of my days out here are spent helping my dad and trying to find decent internet connection, which is close to impossible. You have no idea how many attempts it took to post this. I've never been much of an extrovert, but having nobody to talk to or relate to takes a toll on you. The local population is primarily comprised of people past their 60s. The last family with a kid closer to my age had apparently moved near a decade ago, which, yeah, you can definitely see why. Unfortunately, as you've probably already guessed, boredom hasn't been the worst thing that I've had to contend with. Not even close.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I first saw her. It was still technically summer at the time, so evenings were tolerable, if not exactly warm. Dad and I were taking a walk along a dirt road that connects the village to the nearest highway. He was talking about how I just needed to hold out for a few more years and that we'll be able to move again once we save enough money. The prospect of spending literal years trapped in some desolate hamlet in the middle of nowhere isn't exactly assuring, but with him getting older and Mum's disabilities, I just can't abandon them either. They are by no means perfect parents, but they've always tried their best and I appreciate them for it. I remember looking over at my father, only to notice something in the distance past his shoulder. I strained my eyes. The gloom was far too dense to fully penetrate, but I could definitely distinguish the outline of someone standing amidst the tall grass, towering above it. The figure was that of a woman, a very tall and lanky woman. Her proportions weren't impossible, but they were intimidating, especially coupled with a slanted stance and the fact that she just stood there, swaying like a willow in a windstorm. Dad glanced over his shoulder, but then just looked back at me and confused. "What is it?" he asked. I was so taken aback by the question, I didn't know how to respond. How did he miss this giant woman standing in the middle of a field standing directly behind him? I watched as the imposing silhouette suddenly began to descend, almost as if being swallowed by the earth itself, before disappearing beneath the grass entirely. Once I finally managed to articulate what I had seen, Dad cut our walk short and we jogged home. There was nobody that lives there that even comes close to matching that description, but it certainly wasn't beyond the realm of possibility that some creepy tall woman was wandering the steps at night. Weirdos aren't exactly exclusive to the big city, you know? I felt nervous whenever I had to go out for the next few days, but the odd encounter eventually slipped my mind. Neither of us ever told Mum, since we didn't want her to blow the whole thing out of proportion. Besides, she rarely left the house anyway. I had all but forgotten about the woman in the step. That is, until about a week or so later. We were called over by an old couple that lives at the edge of town, conveniently right by the same road. The request wasn't anything out of the ordinary. One of their goats had croaked during the night. Since both of them were in their 80s, they needed our help to drag it out to the pen. We did as they asked, and were rewarded for our efforts with coffee and toast. It was then that the wife said something that I'll never forget, and I'll do my best to translate it. This old coot won't believe me, but I swear on our grandchildren's lives that I saw someone walking down the old path before I went to bed last night. At first, I thought it could have been you. The girl But the girl was much, much taller. The tallest woman I've ever seen. The way she walked was odd, too, like she was hurt, limping all the way down. Dad and I looked at each other from across the table, and he chimed in on my behalf. Who do you think that it could have been? In hindsight, I am thankful that he stopped me from confessing that I'd seen the woman, too. We would have likely been accused of leading her back to the settlement. As I was soon about to find out, folks around these parts love having someone to blame for their misfortunes.
Ooh.
I don't know. She's not from around here, that's for sure. But if you ask me, she's probably the reason our animals keep dying. Outsiders have always been a bad omen. Be quiet, you hag. The man and his daughter aren't here to listen to your crazy stories.
God
the husband. The husband finally had a chance to intervene, which, after some more back and forth, devolved into a typical domestic dispute. We thanked the elderly couple for their hospitality and promptly excused ourselves, though I doubt either of them noticed. Over the next several weeks, more and more animals kept turning up dead. The closest thing that we have to the vet couldn't determine the cause. Goats, sheep, pigs, cattle, even dogs. Animals that looked completely healthy one day were gone the next.
Wow.
One day, my parents woke up to a coop filled with dead chickens. There was nothing wrong with them as far as any of us could tell. They just lie there motionless while the one still alive pecked carelessly around them. There was talk of a plague, but the idea was quickly brushed aside. What sort of plague kills overnight with no preceding symptoms? It was almost as if they were being poisoned, which briefly became the leading theory. That was until the start of October, when a shepherd found something in the small birch grove that borders the town. Concealed between the trees was this crude arrangement of rocks. They were obviously placed there on purpose, and overlooking them was the cross between the scarecrow and a human-sized effigy made of twigs. It had a rusted cowbell dangling from its neck and a ram's skull for a head. There was something about the way it just stood there, arms raised, praising something none of us could see. It made me feel vulnerable, tiny, like there was this benevolent force perpetually looming above us.
Oh my God.
Witchcraft, somebody yelled. We've been cursed, spouted another. We scattered the rocks and burned the idol the same day. As I watched it get swallowed by the flames, I couldn't help but feel that this is what the one who placed it there intended. I still think this is the exact moment we unknowingly doomed ourselves, and that everything that follows could have been prevented. Too late now, though. Things got worse as time went on. More animals kept dropping dead for no discernible reason. The bodies were piling up. We couldn't even use the meat, as we still feared it might somehow have been tainted, so we just ended up burying them outside of town. It was when the crops, our main source of income and food, started withering that things truly got desperate. Everyone became convinced that there was a witch among us. With my family being the most recent addition to the community, we were obviously the first to fall under scrutiny. Thankfully, my dad managed to appease the growing mob by pointing out that this supposed curse had severely impacted our livelihood as well. It made no sense that we would be the ones responsible. And so, accusations started getting levied against the other most plausible candidate. I won't be using her real name out of respect for the poor woman, so I'll just refer to her as Maria. Maria was about the same age as my mother, maybe slightly older, only she'd never married nor had any kids of her own. I never really got a clear answer as to why, and I'm not about to start speculating. All you need to know is that she'd been living in relative solitude for years, which made her the prime suspect in the eyes of the traditionalist populace. Adding to it was the fact that her livestock had overall been spared, although she wasn't even the sole outlier in that regard. There is no doubt in my mind that her targeting was largely the result of pre-existing prejudice, and things were about to get a whole lot worse for her. Every day I would walk by her house and see a fresh batch of crosses carved into her door. People called her all kinds of names whenever they saw her in public. One time I even witnessed several women throw rocks at her, which the men eagerly encouraged. You might be wondering why the saner among us didn't do anything to help. The unfortunate truth is that times were already tough and nobody wanted to risk getting themselves or their loved ones implicated by proxy. Also, good luck getting any outside authorities to intervene. Nothing short of a murder would ever convince an officer to come out here. It just so happens that's exactly what it took.
Oh.
Time has been somewhat of a blur since the day I found her. I remember that it had snowed the previous night. Everything was covered in a crisp sheet of white. I was probably on my way to the only general store that there is here. It was far too cold for a casual stroll. Suddenly, I heard the distinct intermittent jingling of what sounded like a cowbell coming from somewhere nearby. As I circled past Maria's homestead, like I always had done, I saw her, displayed at the foot of her own doorstep like some perverse art exhibit.
Mm.
Her partially stripped body was tied to a fence post, swollen and bruised beyond recognition. Frost clung to her hair as it flapped in the freezing wind, obscuring disfigured features that hardly resembled a face anymore. And there it was. The same bell that we found on the idol's neck now hung from hers, attached to a hoop of rope and barbed wire, knocked about by the wind. I was so thoroughly desensitized at that point that I just turned around and went home. I didn't even tell my parents. Somebody did eventually call the police, but nothing really came of it. There was an investigation. Suspects were questioned, but ultimately got swept under the rug. Maria didn't have any relatives or friends that were willing to pursue the matter further, so it just was sort of forgotten about by the time Christmas rolled around. People have their suspicions about who could have done it, of course. It is generally assumed to have been the shepherd with the help of a few of his drinking buddies, since he's always been the most outspoken detractor even before any of this cursed stuff happened. The thing is, though, I don't think he did it. There's a detail that I've been deliberately neglecting to mention. I wanted to get the verifiable facts out of the way first. Although most of the events that I've described, the aforementioned tall woman had been haunting nearly every waking moment of my life. Her presence was subtle at first, barely noticeable and easy to disregard. Maybe I would catch something swaying ominously in the distance that I couldn't fully make out. Perhaps there would be a long shadow stretching across the hallway at night, yet there was no one there to cast it. After the desecration of the ritual site, however, any semblance of subtlety was completely done away with. I saw her everywhere I looked, occupying some dim corner, a lanky figure with bluish-gray complexion, draped in a traditional white dress that was several sizes too small, as though it belonged to a child. Her hair was oily and sparse, barely clinging to her scalp and leaving little of her face to the imagination. God, that fucking face. Apart from its unhealthy hue, there was technically nothing wrong with it, but the way she would just stand there and look at me with this vacant smile and wide, glassy eyes just... I honestly can't think of an adjective that accurately describes how repulsive it felt. My dad still didn't see her. I think my mom did, but she just plain refused to acknowledge it, even if the disheveled woman was standing literally right there looming over her. One time I cornered her about it, and probably realizing that I was teetering on the brink of mental collapse, she told me, "Your grandmother used to say that there are things out there that like to watch but hate to be seen. Once you do, it's best to pretend that you don't." So that's what I did. I spent over 2 months pretending like the grinning entity watching us from across the room wasn't there, like its emaciated frame wasn't the first thing that I would see when I stepped through the door. I wouldn't go as far as to say I got used to it. Trying to go to sleep with that thing silhouette propped up against the opposite wall never got easy. And keep in mind that I was dealing with this in parallel with everything else going on in town. The reason why I'm telling you this, although I probably shouldn't, is that the tall woman suddenly stopped appearing around the house just a few days prior to me stumbling across Maria's body. Last week, another murder was reported. The goat herder's wife was found much in the same state, with her battered remains tied to a tree directly outside their home and a cowbell dangling from her neck. I have a feeling that she won't be the last one. So let's summarize, shall we? I'm a teenage girl, trapped in the middle of bumfuck nowhere with a homicidal ghost bitch that exclusively preys on women and may or may not be connected to the curse that progressively decimating our livelihood. I have next to no access to the outside world, and the police can't be asked to help. F my life.
Yes, F your life.
Happy creepypasta.
Ew. Your life sounds terrible.
It sounds bad.
Sounds terrible. Gross. That's very, like, Blair Witchy.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Yeah, me too.
Super scary. That movie will still give me the heaves.
Oh, me too. I watched it not too long ago. Like, I remember watching it when it came out, like, a total weirdo. Shouldn't have been watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched it again probably, like, 5 or 6 years ago and was like, damn. That's spooky.
Yeah.
Big ick.
Big ick indeed. I'm gonna follow your big ick with a little bit of good.
Okay.
It's a fun one. This is a fun little news article. Just Joshin is the name of the article.
Fun!
Mighty 4-year-old wins wild noodle bashing battle of hundreds of Joshes, written by Mary Poppinfuss.
Oh my gosh, okay.
An adventurous 4-year-old was the surprise winner in a massive wacky brawl among hundreds of Joshes armed with pool noodles.
Oh my gosh.
The goofy event, organized by a college student on the chilling fields of Air Park in Lincoln, Nebraska, was aimed at finding a single victorious Josh to stand for all Joshes.
Oh my god.
The high-spirited bash was apparently the perfect anecdote for Americans sick of ugly political backbiting, judging by the social media explosion over the event. The victor was Josh Vinson Jr., hashtag Little Josh, still armed with his red pool noodle, who was awarded a plastic trophy and a Burger King crown.
What a cutie.
It quickly slipped over his eyes and placed on his head. And when asked for any words of wisdom, Josh replied, "I fight everyone." And the crowd roared. Josh's dad, Josh Vinson Sr., told local ABC affiliate KLKN Channel 8 TV that his boy is going to remember this for the rest of his life.
Aww.
The whack-a-noodle battle was the brainchild of 22-year-old engineering student Josh Swain of Tucson, Arizona. Swain has been vaccinated against COVID-19 and many of their participants wore masks.
Way to go, Josh.
Yeah, good job, Josh. Swain came up with the idea when he was struck by how often his full name would already be in use when he tried to sign up on various internet accounts, he told the Lincoln Star. Ah! So he sent out a Facebook message a year ago noodling about a Josh Swain fight to dozens of others with the same name. Only a few replied, and it was only a joke.
That's so hilarious.
He found every other Josh Swain on Facebook
and messaged him
and said, "I want to fight you to be the ultimate Josh Swain."
I love it.
But then the message went viral on Twitter and Reddit, with followers growing over the year. He decided to go ahead with the event, suggesting pool noodles for friendly jousts among the Josh Swains and then the other Just Joshes.
Just Joshes?
He picked the coordinates for the event at random, like throwing a dart at Google Maps. He had no idea Thursday if anybody was going to show up. But the rest is Josh history. The event raised money for the Children's Hospital and Medical Center Foundation Fund in Omaha. "It's not just an act of absurdity," Josh explained. And they collected food donations for the Food Bank of Lincoln.
Oh, that's so cool.
Swain tweeted after the event that there is only one, in homage to Mighty Josh Vinson, or maybe to himself.
That's hilarious. I love that.
Something good.
Something good.
Look, we can do good stuff on this podcast, okay?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah.
I also have a something good, like an educational.
Ooh, I love. Okay, hit me.
So I have, sorry.
Phlegm?
Yeah, I have phlegm. I have the magical properties of lavender for you.
Oh, okay. Through cute.
Yeah, I just thought, why not? Why
super
not
cute.
Add a little
it's
bit
our
of
podcast.
Fun?
We do whatever we want.
Throughout history, lavender has been known for its impressive healing powers. Ancient Egyptians, Greeks, and Romans have used lavender as a remedy for skin problems, backaches, stress, and insomnia.
Insomnia.
Lavender was used as a surgical antiseptic, a healing salve for wounds, and to ease stress. In France and England, lavender was used to freshen the air and laundry, ward off headaches and repel insects, and in pillows to aid in sleeping.
Aww.
Lavender is a natural antiseptic, antibody, antidepressant, sedative, and detoxifier.
Recent this is doing the most.
I know. Recent medical research substantiates that lavender has truly amazing properties, including mood elevation, relaxation, and stress reduction. According to researchers at the University of Miami School of Medicine in the USA, aromatherapy can have significant effect on our brain's EEG activity, our sense of alertness, and our moods. 40 adults were given just 3 minutes of aromatherapy using lavender. The participants were given a simple math computations before and after the therapy. The participants showed increased beta power, suggesting increased drowsiness, that they had depressed moods, or they had less depressed moods, reported feeling more relaxed, and performed the math computations faster and more accurately.
Truly. It makes you better at math?
Apparently.
Wow.
I need to have more lavender therapy in my life.
Yeah, no shit. You could get hooked up on a drip.
No kidding. The implications of these findings are far-reaching, suggesting that aromatherapy can be beneficial not just for clinics and hospitals, but also in schools, colleges, and the workplace. Researchers at Oldham Cottage Hospital recently investigated the potential of essential oil of lavender to aid rest and relaxation and thereby encourage the healing process in elderly patients.
Oh my God.
At the end of the 7 days, all of the patients reacted favorably to the treatment. The researchers observed increased daytime alertness, improved sleep patterns, and those patients who had previously experienced confusion were observed to display as much as a 50% decrease in their symptoms.
Wow!
I know! The value of essential oil of lavender is not only promoted sleep at night, but it also has the effect, which very likely occurs as a result of improved sleep, in improving mental alertness and energy during the day. So, we have some additional things that lavender can help with. So behavior. Considerable evidence exists that fragrant compounds have a profound effect on our mind and behavior. Animal studies have found that hyper-excited mice, as a result of consuming a large quantity of caffeine, was calmed by the aroma of lavender.
Huh.
Sleep. In a study reported by the British medical journal Lancet, elderly patients slept like babies when a lavender aroma was wafted into their bedrooms at night. These patients had complained of difficulty falling asleep and had to take sleeping pills to get to sleep prior to the aromatherapy.
Aww.
Postpartum discomfort. In a double-blind study, 635 women applied lavender oil to their body between their vagina and rectum after childbirth.
Okay.
The women reported a distinct improvement.
Really?
Yeah.
The perineum.
Yep.
Yep. That's what that's called.
Yep. Stress. 122 patients who were in an intensive care unit reported feeling much better when aromatherapy was administered with the oil of lavender compared to when they were simply given a massage or allowed to rest.
Yeah.
Last one is male sexual response. Circulation to the male sexual organ was found to have improved substantially by the aroma of lavender. These studies prove that aromatherapy is an effective therapy for treatment of male impotence from the blood vessel disease or from psychogenic factors.
Impotence is God's will.
So that is lavender.
Wow, good job, lavender.
Fun.
Listen, here's the thing. The earth has given us everything we need.
Right.
We got it.
We got it.
We're just gatekeeping it and turning it into pills and
yep.
shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not to be all new agey.
But also.
And like, and holistic, but.
Holistic. Woo woo.
I mean, a little, don't fucking take your valerian in the morning.
God. Oh, man.
That was good. You should cycle these in.
I think I might. They're easy. They're fun. It's good knowledge.
Do you, listen, if you enjoyed that little snippet about lavender.
Let us know.
Let us know. So, because we can do whatever.
You want.
Whatever you want. You're the one listening to it. You tell us what to do.
Yeah. We're going to do what we want first.
And first then
if
and
you
foremost,
like it, we'll keep doing it.
Yes.
If you hate it, we probably won't.
Correct.
So, that's how this works. Right? Right.
I don't fucking know.
I don't know.
I don't know how any of this works, Taylor.
I know.
We're just winging it as we go. Aren't we all, though? Everybody's winging it.
Yeah.
You know? It's nobody has their shit together. This is why we're in therapy.
What a fun social experiment it is to live. To be alive.
What is that? We're all God's Tupperware and he left us in a hot car.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. All right. So go follow us on the social medias.
Pause on the Twitter.
Pause on Twitter.
Locked out of the Twitter.
You can follow us on Instagram. You can join the Facebook group and follow us on TikTok as well.
Yeah, all over the place. If you like what you hear, leave us a review. It's super helpful.
So helpful.
Share us with a friend. Enjoy your day. Be safe. Be kind to yourself.
And to others.
Goodbye. I didn't mean to Bogart that ending.
Oh, okay.
I didn't mean to. It felt weird starting it.
Oh, it felt like a laugh. Are we still recording?
Yeah.